reading for today is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose portrait is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Someone once said, "You may not agree with every department of the government, but you really have to hand it to the IRS. Yeah, wait for it. Another cynic said, "Death and taxes may always be with us, but at least death doesn't get worse every time Congress meets." We are bound to pay taxes in this government that we live under. It's been there, and it will continue to always be there. It's just part of life for us. And matter of fact, that's what we say is the one sure thing for everyone: death and taxes, is the old adage. We face taxation. What we also should be facing is giving to God what belongs to God, and that one we're not as faithful in. And I say faithful, although we don't consider it faithful in a sense to pay taxes, but it is. It's a duty, it's a responsibility as a citizen of the United States that this is what we do. We have a responsibility that we live in this, under this government, to follow what this government sets up as the rules, sometimes like them or not. And I know some people like to fudge here or there, and we try and cut corners and that, but as long as we're within the realms of the law, then that's fine too. But we still have to pay it. If we don't, we do like some others before us and experience fines or even jail for such things. We certainly don't want to have that. But then again, I remember the saying of Arthur Godfrey, who said, "I feel honored to pay taxes in America. The thing is, I could probably feel just as honored for about half the price." The opportunity we have to pay taxes is the way we can look at it. The responsibility and obligation is the way we probably do look at it. But we forget that there's that other aspect of payment that's due in our life. And it's more important, and it's the one that the Pharisees challenged Jesus on when they came to him. The Pharisees were always trying to trip up Christ. They looked for every opportunity they could to get him to stumble, to say something out of line, something that they could, in a sense, hang him on so that the people wouldn't follow him. Their fear was that they would lose power because the people were starting to follow Jesus. They wanted to stay as the ones in power, the authoritative figures, these Pharisees, the teachers of the law that they were. And so they continued to seek after Jesus in ways that they could cause him to stumble. And they ask him this question: "What do we do about paying taxes?" And Jesus, knowing their hearts and seeing behind the question also, shows them their hypocrisy by asking them the question. And there was a movie several years ago, Jerry Maguire, that was the name of the movie, couldn't remember in early service. The catchphrase in it was, "Show me the money! Show me the money!" And the guy wanted to have a career in the NFL, and he was as good as they got, and he was worth it, but he was not going to sign unless there was the right contract there. It was the whole idea behind all this. And then there was other plots within it, but that was the running theme. Show me the money. That's what Jesus says, show me the money. And they bring over the money, and that money there bears the face of Caesar, who thinks himself as a god. You got to wonder, did these guys really, truly think themselves as a god, or did they just play that before everyone else? Because they certainly had to understand that they weren't, it would seem. But for the Jews to be carrying around these coins, they're graven images in their pockets. They're idols in their pockets, which goes completely against their own law. The first commandment, they shouldn't have had these idols with them. And yet there they carried around graven images and idols of a false god with them. That's why Jesus was clearly able to say, "You hypocrites." And by producing the money, it reinforced what he was saying about them. You are carrying around these coins that bear a false god's image, and you're questioning me about what to do regarding your taxes. And so he says, give that money to Caesar. The money that's Caesar's, give it to Caesar, but give to God the things that are God's. And you can just kind of picture the way the Pharisees kind of realized they've been caught at their own game and must have, you know, sulked away. Which, there we go again. Jesus could have easily dismissed them and said, you know what, get away, don't bother me anymore, guys. It would have been fair in doing so. But no, he pointed out not only to them, but to all those around, the hypocrisy of their faith and their actions. We are to follow God and to give to God that which is God's. And then there are those things that we have that are in the world, that remain of the world. I think sometimes, though, we're like that little boy that was given two quarters before church, and as he was walking along to church, he had the one quarter that was to put in the offering plate and one quarter that was to buy an ice cream after church that he had. And as he's going along, he drops one of those quarters into one of those grates that we have in the streets, and he can't get it back out. And he looks up to the heavens and he says, "I'm so sorry, God. It looks like your quarter's down there, but thanks, I'll still have some ice cream after church." You know, we forget about our responsibilities and our obligations to God. We have a tithe that God has told us about, that 10% offering that even Jesus said not to neglect doing. We should continue that practice, he said. So it wasn't done away with in the New Testament, but added on to, with also the understanding of offerings. And we give those as a cheerful giver, it says. Actually, there's that joy when we start serving the Lord the way we're called to serve that we find that we don't fully appreciate until we get to those points where he calls us to serve and we serve. We find that this is satisfying to us. This is not only a blessing to others, but something that is satisfying to us. That this reading was here for us today was just ideal for me because I talk about stewardship pretty much all year long, but I don't talk about financial stewardship. Stewardship deals with not just monies, but it deals with our time and our talents and how we use those talents for God. And I'm always talking about how we serve the Lord by serving others and the things that we can do and the ways that we give of our time and using the gifts that God has given us. How do we serve God? I rarely talk about the financial stewardship. And this is probably the first time in over a year that I have done that. But the reading today lent itself to that, and the fact that also just this last week was, for those of you who do the late filing on taxes, was tax day we finally hit again. So it was just perfect in there. One other thing comes to mind with that, and that's that Jesus, in 80% of his parables, talked about stewardship. In 80% of that 80%, he talked about specifically the stewardship of finances, of money, material things. I don't do the fractions and the math to tell you what 80% of 80% is of 100%. I'm not playing that. But there, that means that he talked about stewardship and finances a whole lot more than I ever have in my life. But it's something that we need to address. As certainly as we address taxes, we need to address tithes and giving to God. Today's reading brings us to that, and I have to tell you that it always brings to me some funny ideas that take place in the world when we talk about what do we do with our money. And without any consideration to a political persuasion at all, I recall one politician that just made me laugh out loud, and I still smile and think about it today as rather humorous. But about 10 years ago, this one politician said, "Be patriotic, pay more taxes." Yeah, that's pretty good. Be patriotic. In a sense, he was right, because the definition of being a patriot is a person who loves and supports and defends his or her country with their interests and devotion. So in a sense, he was right. If you do seek to pay more taxes, then you are, at least in one way, being more patriotic. Myself, I choose to be as patriotic as I am now and stick right there. I'm good, thanks. I don't need to be more patriotic than I already am, especially in that area, I'm thinking. But then comes the render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and separating that out from what Christ is saying, rendering to God that which is God's. And Jesus, in a sense, in saying, "Show me your money," was really saying something else to the people. He was saying to them, "Show me where your heart is." And obviously for these Pharisees, their heart was not in God. It was in finances, it was in money, it was in their power, it was in their way of thinking, not in God's way of thinking. But Jesus revealed that their heart was not following God. For us, following God, well, what does that mean? If we are children of God, and if we're going to follow Him faithfully, how are we going to do that? And do we do that as faithfully as He calls us to in the Scriptures? In all ways, with the gift of our treasures, in seeking to give that tithe of what we earn to service in the Lord's name, in the church, and in missions? Or do we give of our time the way we should in setting aside the time we need for our devotions, our prayers, for being present in Bible studies and fellowships? Do we give of our gift of the talents God has given us, the opportunities He's given us to use what we have developed in our life in service to Him? If you can sing, do you sing for the Lord? If you can play an instrument, do you do so for the Lord? If you can construct things with your hands, do you do so for the Lord? If you have a servant's heart, do you do so in giving and hospitality for the Lord in these different opportunities that are before us all the time in the church? If we say we are a Christian, how do you show that you're a Christian? How do you show where your heart is? Or do you show where your heart is? Because that reveals the truth about us. Where our heart is, that's where the rest of us follows. Our time, our talents, and our finances. If we're all about football, we probably spend more time and perhaps even money on football than we probably should. If we're all about, pick anything other than Christ and the church, and see how our heart takes our money, our time, and our talents away from God. Do we place God first? Doesn't mean we can't have all these other things. Doesn't mean we can't be involved in all these other things. But do we place God first where He truly belongs? Do we have to make it a law again as it once was? God took away the idea of making this a law anymore. He just said, this is what is good to do. This is what we should do out of love for God, in response to God's love. This is how we should live. The government leaves the laws in place. You don't get an option on, check this box if you don't want to pay your taxes this year. Yeah, there'd be a lot of checks, wouldn't there? Or lack of thereof of checks, I guess, in another sense. But with God, maybe He shouldn't have given us the option. Maybe He shouldn't have taken away the old covenant that says we had to obey Him, because now too often people choose to disobey Him. We turn away from God. The Pharisees and their sly questions and lack of following the Lord wanted to continue to look for the loopholes. Jesus closed the loopholes. Maybe we need to return back to where God would desire that we serve Him first. And And as opposed to just going with the idea of showing the money, and then perhaps even going to showing where our heart is, we need to follow what Christ would say next, and then that's, show me with your actions. How do our actions, how does the way that we live out this life, day to day, week by week, show that we are Christians? Like the old song, they'll know we are Christians by our love. How is your love being shown to others to prove your faith? Can people look at you, how you live, and discern and understand that you are obviously a Christian? And if not, is there something we can do to make that a part of our routine, a part of our life, a part of our daily living and reflection to the world around us, that yes, we are Christians, and we follow this God who is known as Christ? We follow a lot of things. We follow money. Follow money because it's how we go on to the next steps in our life, and we tend to forget that money also can become a god. We can follow things in this world, and those things can be the things that consume us and take us away from serving the Lord. That becomes a god. We can follow people. We can follow political agendas. We can follow all sorts of things that pull us away from following God and serving other people in His name. But certainly as Jesus told them to look at the coins and whose image is on there and to render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, He says for us to look at ourselves. And if we look at ourselves, we have to remember that there's an image we bear too, and that's the image of Christ and God. We were created in God's image. And if we are bearing that image, then we need to render to God that which is God's, and that's our very lives, ourselves. How do we serve the Lord? What are we devoted to? It's going to mean some change in our life, perhaps, to be more faithful to God in this day and tomorrow than we have been in the past. And there's another old joke about finances for Lutherans. Lutherans don't like change, right? Except in the offering plates. That's we're okay there. Well, unless you're counting it, then you don't like it there. I'll give you one more. We know that the idea of how Lutherans are with finances, and I think it comes back to our German heritage, very, very miserly, and you know, want to hold on to it, and that's how we got the Grand Canyon, was because of Lutherans. You know, one Lutheran dropped a nickel down a gopher hole, and they all went after it, right? Oh. That was a holy joke. That was a graven joke. We are. It's getting deep. We'll stop. We don't want to be like the Pharisees. We really don't. We don't want to try and look for loopholes. We don't want to challenge God and try and see how can we get away with, or what little can we get away with. We need to follow the Lord with all that He's created us to be. Our time, our talents, and yes, even our treasures. Recognizing that there's a coin that bears a likeness. That's fine. There's a likeness that we bear, and that's of a king. The true king, our Lord and God. We are created in His image. If we are created in His image, what will you do in service to God, in rendering to God that which is His? Your very lives. Your soul. You are the Lord's child. How will you live this day in evidence to the world around that you bear His image? In Jesus' name, amen.